Hi, you mob. We here at the Sovereign Podcast would like to acknowledge the Whadjuk Noongar people, family, children and elders past and present on the land on which we meet today, Whadjuk Noongar Boodja.
It's a privilege to be standing on Noongar country and we should all be proud to call Boolu and the surrounding waters of the Derwal Yerrigan our home.
Hey, you mob. No. Charlene, it's hey, you mob. It's IJ and Jar and you say, see, this is why you don't do it.
This is something that's not spoken about at all. As black folders navigating through uni, We don't get to live in these situations. No. We have to survive in them.
And yeah, now we're here.
Now we're here. We made it this far.
Kaya, and welcome to the Sovereign Podcast, a show made by sister girls for sister girls, as well as any other mob and beautiful people who may relate.
We come to you from Boorloo as two First Nations women from the outer regions of WA, with so many stories of home and navigating our lives here in the city.
Central to our show is our black lens and perspective, which comes from our lived experience as black girls in today's society. On the Sovereign Podcast, we will talk about topics that stretch from First Nations affairs to beauty and fashion, navigating university, relationships, life in your 20s, and everything else in between.
We hope that through this podcast, you learn, laugh, and feel the love, comfort, and sisterhood we are bringing to you with every episode. So stay tuned.
Hey, you mob.
It's IJ
and Shah, and welcome back to the Sovereign Podcast.
So since our last episode, Charlene and I have gone to the Boorloo Invasion Day rally and march, and what was your thoughts and feelings around that, Shah?
So I found it so powerful. That was like really powerful, and do you have the same experience where you just get really anxious prior to going to a protest?
Oh, yeah, I did. When I went, I did.
I
saw the crowds of all the people and I was on the train and there was people wearing like Australia Day merch or whatever, I felt really anxious and I thought someone was going to like come for me and my sign
were
and whatever.
Were people
like,
wearing Australia Day
yes,
stuff
on the
train?
Yes, on the train it was so cringe.
They're all wearing, you know what they're doing? I'm so confused. I was seeing, I don't know if it's a culty thing, but there's a lot of people wearing Hawaiian shirts. Like matching Hawaiian shirts.
It's probably
because
they're
packs.
Just like drunk.
Probably. I don't know. Doing. But there was a lot of that, I remember. But really, there were a lot of people wearing that.
On the train, it was so unnecessary. It always is with that kind of merch. Like, it's never even any kind of stylish way. Like, Charlene and I, well, I was wearing a Clothing the Gap top. Charlene was wearing a Aboriginal flag shirt top.
Yes.
And we look like, I would say, presentable and fashionable. But sometimes people just blast Australian.
They really don't.
The flag, like, what is it? Like, stretch it out to fit like a shirt, a dress, and just plonk that on their body.
And just plonk that on their body. It's like,
ugh.
Like, you can't even give
it's
these
unnecessary.
People. You can't give these people styling tips either because like, you just know you cannot do anything
to save their
lives.
The tattoos on the face, the Australian flag thongs.
Yuck. And then the flag, like, they tie it around their necks like capes. It's like, get out of here, like, it's disgusting, cringe. We actually had a funny, you asked me about how it was and how we found it. Well, it was a very powerful rally, powerful march. I was at the back of the march and then I caught up to you. Did you find that it was, I feel like it was more powerful than I expected it to be because a lot of people haven't really been turning up these last couple years.
After COVID and everything, it might have like made things harder. But this year, I think it felt good. Like there was what was the first part? Like the rally kind of part before the marching to the next like area. Yeah. And I found that to be pretty good. There was heaps of people there, lots of families, lots of allies, lots of Clothing the Gap. Like everywhere I could see the logo.
IJ's mum was there.
My mum and my sister were there. There was lots and lots of elders speaking, even some from the East Coast. There was it was really sad. The wife of a Aboriginal man who died in custody as well, and all her children that were there with her, and it was really impactful. I think hearing all the speeches,
very very impactful. We had a lot of community, like singing.
It was joint with like the Palestinian movement as well. So there was Palestinian people up talking. There was Palestinian flags alongside Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander flags.
Shout out friends of Palestine WA for getting involved. They are amazing. Oh wow. And the fact that they helped organize the event too, it's just amazing
so
to see
people.
The solidarity and the union between Indigenous mob from around the world, because then we have the Palestinian people who are equally mourning and grieving every day of their lives, and then you have us mob coming together, standing in solidarity with them, letting them know that, hey, we're here for you too. We're going through it too. So it's so beautiful.
Yeah, the parallels
were
so obvious.
So beautiful.
And we've said it before on the podcast. If you support Palestine or First Nations Australia, they're interchangeable. You know,
interchangeable.
You can't pick and choose. They're the same. And there was a speech by a Palestinian young woman who also made comparisons of, like, the West Bank and Gaza to Borlu and Nam and all these places that are going through the similar things at different times, you know. I thought that was really impactful.
So powerful. No, I agree with you 100%. But then we had an incident.
Well, we left to come to podcasting.
I drove, guys.
I was scared. Charlene was like looking. This van was driving straight towards us. She's like, I'm just going to floor it. And she put her little foot down and my bun hit the back of the car seat.
But you know what I appreciate about you? When you know I'm a bad driver. And was I a bad driver?
It was okay. There was like a yellow light and she's like, stop it.
No, because I was trying to show off in front of you. I was like,
yeah. Oh my God, really?
Yeah, guys, I'm going
to roll it in my mom's car.
Literally, I was in my mom's car though. Anyways, so IJ, how are you feeling? How was your week? I know we spoke, yeah.
My week was busy. My week was...
Oh, yes, uni.
No, that's my corporate interpretation of me typing all day. I'm literally going to get arthritis when I'm like 25.
Don't say that. Don't say that. Anxiety. Literally anxiety.
My
mom said the same thing.
My to-do list just keeps growing. It's so bad.
No, I get that you work like every week, right? And then you also go to uni. It's mm-hmm. equally the same amount of brain energy being poured into the same thing. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it.
I don't know either because literally I'm bringing it up again, guys. On last episode, I brought up my statutory interpretation class. I'm bringing it up again. I was sitting in the 2-hour lecture going, my God, I'm sitting here learning how to read legislation so I can, like, interpret legislation well when I'm a lawyer and be a lawyer and give justice to people. But, like, no offense, people, we're all going to die one day. The world's going to end. Like,
no
I'm fighting for justice for, like, everyone, but, like, we're all going to die.
We're all going to die.
I was like, why am I sitting here? Why am I sitting here? She's literally going... Oh, in the act it says, like, your birthday is the day after X, Y, and Z, da-da-da-da. So when it says 21 days after this, da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like...
No way.
Are you serious? Like, I do not care. I do not care. I do not care. Seriously, I want to be gallivanting in strawberry fields right now, not sitting in this class. If the world's going to blow up and end, like, why am I doing this? Seriously.
I am so glad I'm not at uni anymore. I'm so glad. I had those thoughts all the time. I've had those thoughts all the time. I get what you mean. It's the urge to just
go and like live life. There's no perception of like long term things here.
No, but
it's like
good.
This is boring. Get me out of here. Why am I here? Period.
You know what? Period. Yeah, we blessed in the West, no doubt. North to the South, all we're about is keeping all the mob together. We stay on forever because we want it better. Say now. How was my week?
Big little week.
Nothing really much. I can't even tell you what I got up to. I've been home. I've been chilling. I've been working. I've been all right. To be honest. Like, I don't even think. Don't think much has happened. Yeah, that's it. But I will say one thing.
Oh.
I had a thought.
Mm-hmm. Period. For once.
No thoughts up here, I promise you. But I had a thought, and that thought was, it wasn't a shower thought. It wasn't a, first thing in the morning, like, I'm going to contemplate my existence thought. It was literally just a, I was having, I don't know what it was. I got up in the morning. I went for a little walk, and I was like, because one of my coworkers goes for walks in the morning, and they were encouraging me to go as well because they were like, if you want to feel less lazy, go for a walk. And I said, sure, why not? Went for a little walk. And it was like 5 a.m. in the morning, watched the sunrise.
Are you scared?
Oh, my neighborhood is pretty chill. I went around the neighborhood. I didn't go around. I feel like it's pretty chill. I feel like because it's for the families and stuff, I don't really suspect anything weird. But I would be scared if you told me to go walk somewhere else. I don't know, I'd probably like freak out, but I felt comfortable enough to go for a walk and sat down and had like a little moment, and I was like, is this healing? Is this what healing is? No, you know what I mean? Is this, have I healed?
I know what you mean.
It's like those things where it's like, have I sat down and
Like, is this active healing? Like, am I
Is this part
healed?
Of the journey? Am I healed?
Yeah, how did I used to feel? Like, I know, I've been having thoughts like that too.
Have you?
I actually paused my counselling for, like, you can pause it for a certain amount of, like, time periods. And I paused it for, like, 6 weeks or something. BetterHelp?
Yeah,
that's what I used, yeah.
Yeah, same. But anyways.
Well, yeah, I paused my counselling for, like, 6 weeks or whatever because I was like, maybe I'm at the point where I actually don't need it anymore. But I think I'm just a bit scared. That's why I put it on pause, not, like, ended. Mm. But I was, like, I had, like, lots of moments of reflection as well. And I'm like, maybe I actually don't need the extra assistance anymore, like, for the time being.
Do you think a part of you feels at peace? Is that why?
It's that. It's, like, I can manage. I the most recent calls that I had were like a bit empty because I was like doing the right processes to process emotions, trauma, memories, day-to-day problems. I was managing and finding like positive outlets to like let off that upset or stress or whatever it was. Like the present day problems I was sorting out myself, the kind of like behind the scenes trauma, old memories, problems I was working on, and they weren't affecting me as much anymore. I wasn't getting many triggers or whatever. So I was like, maybe I don't need this anymore for now. You know what I mean?
I love that because I feel the same way, especially in regards to when you said it's like no things that trigger me anymore. I, it was very similar thought process for me. I feel like maybe I should pause my counseling now because
it's not cheap, girl.
But it literally isn't. But that's what I mean. Like when I was on that walkie walk, I keep calling it a walkie walk. But I was walking, wait, for some reason, I was expecting myself to randomly feel down during the process because I do that. It happens.
You feel lonely.
Yeah. But then to myself, I was like, wait, why do I feel like myself but elevated?
Oh,
like why do I feel this way? And then I went home, sat down, had to think about it. And I was looking through a lot of old things that I had to deal with. And again, things that trigger me usually wasn't triggered.
Mm.
I don't know what it is.
That's a very breakthrough thing. And that's a very easy way to compare where you are, like in your journey. If you can think back to things that like would typically cause some sort of reaction in you and you can deal with them in a lot more like manageable way.
That's so true. And I feel like a part of it, and this is my conclusion of what I was feeling, and I feel like I don't know if you can relate, but I felt like your girlhood is either violently ripped away from you or it just has never been there. It just has never been there in the first place.
Ooh.
Because I was thinking about this and I was like, I forgot what life was like before 19. And then I suddenly felt like I had my life back to where I was before I was 19. Because I don't want to trauma dump on the podcast, but I was in a very, very difficult situation for a year. Mm-hmm. Very difficult situation. I'll just say it. You know what? Whatever. I know.
No, but that's what this podcast is. If you feel comfortable enough, there are girls. We always get messages from people saying that our episodes assist people and
help
a lot
out.
Of people can relate. Yes. And it's sometimes, like we say X, Y, and Z things are taboo, but sometimes these things are taboo because they're so hard to talk about. They're so hard to own up and say, I experienced this.
Yeah.
I feel shame about this or like, you know, there's like that kind of element about it. So we all know the things that everyone thinks are taboo, but like when you think deeper, there's actually these kinds of topics that they're maybe not taboo, but just no one's got the guts to say it.
No one wants to talk about it. I wish someone could talk about it with me. I know you and I.
We had each other.
We were in a similar experience.
Yeah. And like it was like we didn't want to tell other people, so we told each other.
We told each other.
Because it was like literally I remember phone calls just both being so upset and being like, don't be shame. Like, I understand.
Yeah.
Like, because you go and tell other people that don't get it. And
exactly. It's the hard to.
You seem crazy.
Because, and these are the things, right? Like, the particular situation I was with was, I was in a, I was in a very toxic relationship. How about that? Very toxic, abusive relationship. And trigger warning, but it wasn't, I've realised it was really hard because my girlhood was stripped away from me and I never got to experience my girlhood years for what it was. Girlhood, by the way, in my opinion, it's the most, they're the most important years of your life. I consider my girlhood to be from, I don't know, since I was young to probably 19 when I went through those experiences and I had to grow with someone that was hurting me.
Yeah.
That wasn't, you know, right for me as well. I don't know. Weird bringing this up.
Girlhood doesn't have to end. Like, there is no end to girlhood until things like this happen. And like you said, it gets stripped away from you. Say that we never had those experiences, we probably would still be, like, you know, in our girlhood in our 20s. And I feel like this whole idea that our girlhood can be stripped away also contributes to the female rage that we have.
100%.
It's definitely there. That's what I meant. I feel jealous and angry that I was 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, centering my life around a relationship and an experience that was so awful and forced me to grow up because I was around people that were not grown.
Yeah.
And that exposed me to really adult and really harmful things. So I had to grow up because I had to look after myself and look out for myself because I couldn't tell anyone. Like,
that's what I mean by your girlhood is either the girls are getting it. That's what I mean by your girlhood is either violently taken away from you or you abandon it in shame.
Yeah, that's very true.
And you abandon it in shame. Why? Why do you abandon it in shame? Because you know now that, as you mentioned, you're in a situation where you are forced to grow up and you don't know why you're holding on to something that you can't have anymore. And no, you're so right. Like, it's made me realize that whenever I'm in those weird moments where I'm trying to heal, gives me a little shock when I'm like, wait, why do I not feel sad anymore? Why do I not feel upset
anymore?
You can
feel the progress.
You feel the progress. Yep. And I think I've reached a stage sort of where I'm finally back to that.
I think so.
And I don't know if it's, I don't know what it is. It's just a very interesting thing.
It's interesting and it's empowering. I feel like we're both, especially this year, it's a fresh year.
Yeah.
We're starting off pretty well. And I feel like we've really come into our own. Like last year I was such a hodgepodge mess. Like about the chaos, like it just didn't allow me to be myself. And like Charlene had the experience when you went on the walk, my kind of like light bulb moment was I was at Pilates at 6 a.m, which I'm addicted to. I'm addicted. I go at 6, so I get up at 5 and like get ready and then drive. Anyway, 6 a.m, I'm on the reformer and I'm thinking, I enjoyed this so much. Like, why did I never do this? Why have I only just started doing this? If I really enjoy this and I feel like I would have when I was 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, why am I only doing this now? And I was like, oh my God, I, in a relationship, did not know who I was. I actually didn't know.
That's so
I
true.
I actually had no
Why
clue.
Why is that so true?
I had no clue. So I didn't know what I wanted. I didn't know what I enjoyed. I didn't know without someone else, what does Isaiah like to do? What do I like? What makes me happy? What fills my cup? What do I enjoy? And I didn't have a perception also that even though you're in a relationship, you're meant to do things alone. You're meant to do things for yourself. You're meant to still be your own person. I didn't know any of that because I was so young and impressionable. And now I'm like, oh my God, like I'm doing this. I'm getting up at 5 a.m. and going to Pilates because I love it. And I should have been doing this the whole time, but I had no perception of who I was, what I enjoy, what my hobbies are.
That's why actually, sis, when we leave those situations, we're lost for a long time.
Oh yeah.
Because we did not know who we were. We did not know how to navigate a world where we didn't have a constant nagging ear near us.
That's the essence of attachment as well.
It is. And we had to endure a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We had to endure a lot. I mean, my particular situation, I was with someone that was, making me not feel like myself. I felt like I was going against everyone. I was isolated from my friends. I was dressing differently. It impacted my health, which was a sign. And I realized this as well. Like, my body was literally rejecting someone because it was declining. My health was declining. The way I was looking was declining. I mean, I'm still recovering from that now. And it's very scary and sad because I mean, I don't know. I often look at myself in the mirror and I know we're not meant to, you know, nitpick and stuff like that. But I'm like, damn, I used to be like this way. I used to look like this. And now I'm literally holding on for dear life, trying to just get through my day. And you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's just like I felt completely different. I had different hobbies. I had a different mindset.
But it's shaped around the person. It's shaped around the person. Completely. And I feel like only because I had gone through similar things or just similar, like, themes, were there times where, like, even you'd come to me and be like, I don't have anyone. There's no one I can tell. Or that people have left me because of this. And I'm like, it's harsh. And I feel for those people as well, because I've had friends and it hurts you to see your friend go through that. And sometimes you do need a break from that. But having experienced it as well, I'm like, you can't just leave people that are going through that.
Exactly.
You can't just end the phone call. You can't just say, oh, you're annoying me with all your stories. Like, I'm not going to listen. Yeah. Like, that is actually a cry for help. If someone has no one and they're in a situation like that, like, bets are they realize that it's a bad situation.
100%.
And they're stuck and they need help. And so, like, you know, I feel like that's why we also had each other's back, like...
We had it a lot, and then also in the sense that my mindset was sabotaging everyone around me because this person was feeding things into my head.
Mm.
And that is a sign, again, of manipulation, of abuse. It's terrible. No one should endure that at all. And you're right. You often feel isolated. You often feel like you don't have anyone to talk to, anyone around you. And even reaching out to someone that you know has heard the story 100 times is so embarrassing. It feels humiliating. And you feel like you're wasting their day, you're wasting their time. And that's another thing, like, because you're so lonely, you stay longer.
Very true.
Situation.
It's like sometimes it's a cop out. It's like, I've got no one except this person. Exactly. They can treat me so bad and then they can treat me so good the next day and then bad again. But I need someone around and that's the one person, you know? I've been there as well. And there is an element of embarrassment around it I felt that. I know you felt that because, yeah, you tell people the same story. They say, oh, just leave him, da 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 da. I'll just get out of that, as if it's that simple. And then you just feel bad bringing it up because it's just going to repeat the same advice over and over again.
It is so true.
And so, yeah, I've been there. And, like, there's a lot of stuff that no one ever knew, you know, because you feel so embarrassed for putting up with it, even though you can't help how you feel.
Mm.
Or you rationalise it in your brain. Oh, I put up with it because I love him. I put up with it because I need someone. Like, you're feeding yourself these lies to like, justify it in your own brain. Half the time, it was only after I was out of bad situations that I clocked that some things were actually quite bad. Because when I was in them, I was telling myself, oh, no, that's normal. Mm. Or, like, you know, this is the life that I chose, or this is what I deserve. Like crap like that.
And on that note, too... Were you ever force-fed, like, growing up, I was force-fed the statement, oh, you don't leave, you need to work it out. Like, you need to work it out. Real people work it out. You can't leave.
Mm.
You can't leave. And because of that one statement, I've always stayed, ruined my mental health, and even though I was getting hurt, I was literally getting, the most harshest, most... insidious things thrown at me, I still stayed because I wanted... it's that feeling of... It's not even love, it's just attachment.
But also generationally, we see our nanas and our aunties and our mothers putting up with people they shouldn't have...
They should never have stayed with. That's what I mean.
You know, that's what's instilled, you know? Like, yeah, you just work it out. Or, oh, that's just how they are. Or... You know, I love him regardless, and it's like no,
exactly. And when you go older, you know your perception of what's right and wrong starts to really form. Because I mean, again, I mean a lot of in my family, there's not anymore, but back then there was a lot of arranged marriages, which freaks me out because I've seen the way it's impacted my aunties, and I've seen the way it's impacted my family, extended families as well. And it is until now that I've really clocked that that's not okay, that's not normal. And because of the concept of arranged marriages, there is that idea of, oh no, you have to stay. You have to stay in it. You have to stay in these problems and you have to work them out. You can't leave so easily. Yeah. It's really sad. It's devastating. And I think the reason why we're bringing this up, we're talking about this, is because it has shaped us into the people we are today. You might not be the same person you were 2 years ago, 3 years ago before you met this person, but every single thing has shaped you into who you are today, like sitting here today. And it's given you so many different life experiences, yes, but now you know how to get there. Now you know what you want and what you don't want from it.
Yeah.
And it can get really freaking scary when you think back to, like,
all these things. I agree. And I think to myself, because, like, I was in very long relationships, would I just, like, reverse it? Would I go back and be 16, 17 and be in high school and have no boyfriend? Would I do that? And sometimes I think where I would avoid X, Y, and Z things, I wouldn't do that, because as awful as they were or whatever it was, I am literally so resilient. You know, I've got a lot of things going for me, and that is because of the highs and lows that came before where I'm at now. Exactly. And you have to just accept that.
You have to accept it.
So, yeah, I don't, you know, I don't believe in living with regrets either.
No regrets.
And, like, I just think, wherever you are at your stage, if you're still in your girlhood, if you're with someone, if you're out of a relationship, if you're lost, if you're attached, whatever it is, like, don't have regrets. Don't think that you've done something wrong. Don't wake up every day thinking, I shoulda, coulda, woulda. Like, where you're at is because of the things that have happened, and you'll be a better person for it if you can flip the narrative. Like, and we're kind of living examples of that.
We are. No, we definitely are. We definitely have a lot of things up our belt regarding what it means to be in these toxic situations. And we just want people to know that if you are in a similar position, if you are literally if you're thinking about, oh, I'm constantly being hurt, I'm not gaining anything from this person, what do I do? Where do I go? It is easier said than done, but that is enough of a sign to leave.
If you need a reconfirmation.
If you need it as well. Like, I don't know.
But if you're also scared, because that's another thing. At the time when you're saying, should I not, you're scared. It's like, what? Because you actually do not know what is, like, next for you. You don't know. For me, it was, I didn't know where I was going to live. I didn't know what I was going to do. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if I could stay in Perth. Like, I had all these questions. I felt like my actual life was falling apart. Like, I felt my life was falling apart.
That's why it's not easy to just say, I need to leave.
It's not easy. And for people that have, like, a hat in the ring, whether it's a dog or a house or whatever, it's even harder.
Mm.
You don't have your family around you. It is so scary because you actually don't know what's going to happen. But turn it around. Like, that's the joy of life. You don't know what's going to happen. I could not have preempted a year ago that I would have moved house. The podcast would have done so well. I would do, you know, get a new job, excel in uni. Like, I couldn't have known about that. Find myself. Do all these fun things for myself. Meet new people. Have new experiences. Go to Pilates at 6 in the morning.
Exactly.
Like, I couldn't have known that for myself. And you can't just do things that are, like, safe. You can't.
You can't. The safe way is always the hard way. Safe the boring the way. And it's boring too.
You don't grow.
But that's what I mean. Dopamine is such a disgusting chemical in our heads because it only lasts a little while. Because dopamine, I mean, I'm already dopamine deficient as it is because I have ADHD. But it's that chemical in your brain where you want it so bad because it makes things exciting for a little while. And once it's gone, you crave it again, and you crave it again, and you crave it again, and you crave it again. And that's when life starts to get boring. That's why the safe way is the boring way, because you don't have that dopamine chemical in your head. And it's like, how I see it, it's like everything I was going through was not linear at all. When you're in a healthy relationship, your graph, let's use some mathematical terminologies here. I'm not good at maths at all. But when you're in a relationship, you should not be having peaks and lows, peaks and lows, peaks and lows. I'm
but
talking
it's
like
mountain.
Exactly.
For toxic people,
exactly.
It's addictive.
It's meant to be a steady graph. You can go up a little bit. It's not meant to be a peak. It's meant to curve down. Oop, one little problem. But then it gets back to normal again
but
because you
communicate.
But the threshold
that you're moving in
exactly.
is controlled.
It looks
and
controlled. It's stable.
Yep.
But then when you're in a toxic one, it's always going high, 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 and then
crashes down. Argument,
because
explosive.
And that's the thing, yep. right? That crash down is the explosive part of it. It's arguing. It's
low blows
over that. But yep. then the peak is the bare minimum. Not even the bare minimum.
Oh my god,
Charlene knows. Look at me.
Stop.
It could be a sorry. It could
Stop.
Be a here's a present for you.
I feel personally attacked.
Up.
I feel personally attacked. How did you know my life?
I literally, because we've been there, girl. We've been there. We've talked about this as well. It's always the bare minimum of, oh, I bought you a gift to apologize. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Oh, here, I'll communicate with you for a little bit, but then. Bam.
Oh my
you fall again.
God.
Do you get
Charlene
what I mean?
Said it, y'all. Charlene said it.
Stop, sis,
it's so true.
That.
It's so true. And I mean, I don't want to just shit on. Oh.
Just
sorry.
Crap. Just crap.
I thought
on.
We're not allowed to swear.
Dang,
what, this
yes.
whole time?
This is
I
season
we
two.
I thought we couldn't say ass.
Can I say A double S? Can I say. No, okay. Cool.
No,
go with
I
it.
Feel,
okay,
scared.
Just say crap.
I'm so scared.
I know. I feel out of place swearing too.
Anyways, I don't mean to shit on the person that I was with because I acknowledge and recognize that in my situation, in my situation, it was mutual toxicity. I was 100% part of it. I was part of it because I was like riding the wave. Like I was like yelling in the arguments as well. Like it's not one sided. I was 100%. Not like dominated. It was a back and forth, really toxic, snarky. Not nice thing, you know, like
yeah
being away from that person's actually made me, you know, love them in a different kind of way, but like I acknowledge I was a real not nice person, but also I didn't know myself, so I was just like riding this up and down wave, having massive explosive arguments, time apart, and then coming back together, acting all like lovey-dovey until the next fight. And it's an awful way to live because you're so dysregulated, you're so out of joint. Mind you, you still have work, uni, life, family, all these other things, and you're still, like, going through arguments
still,
and highs and lows, and
yeah.
it's awful. But what I've experienced in terms of, like, healthy ways of thinking, it is really hard to retrain yourself after you've been in those situations.
So hard.
It is really hard, and you have to be accountable and point out when you're showing toxic behaviours that are not okay anymore because you're 100%. Out of that situation, you know what I mean? So, yeah, and even sometimes it's hard to have, like, to have stability. Mm. After that's been your life, it's hard to have stability. It's hard to have, like, calmness. It's hard to have not very high highs and low lows. Mm. And you have to, like, retrain your brain, essentially. So, yeah, that's what I've
'cause that's so true. That is so true. We often, there's a saying, it's like, oh, when you love someone, you give them your heart. You also give them your brain. They take your brain and they crush it while they are with you because they are controlling. They could be controlling. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like they're controlling how you feel. They're controlling the way you think. They're controlling everything because it all links back to up here. It all links back up to your brain. And that when they leave and you get your brain back, it's just a mush. It is a mush. It is crumpled. Look at my analogies today.
You are. You're doing really well today.
Thank you. I'm not
you're
usually
helping
an analogy
the visual
queen.
Learners. They're getting pictures in their heads
you,
right
you
now.
Did that last episode with my bag, remember? Describing my bag. But and then that when you get it back, you have to retrain, reframe your brain to fit back up here, back to yourself. So it is really hard. It's difficult. And on that note as well, like, please, like, you know what's best for you. Love should be... It could be as mundane as anything in life, and that's okay.
If you know, like, you know deep down. Girls, you know.
You know.
You'll hear this podcast, and if you're in this situation, I know that you'll reflect right now and go like, oh, I know they're talking about me. I feel victimized by what
exactly.
they're saying. Like, I know that they're speaking
you
to me.
You know that.
You know, because girls know. Women know.
I was going to say that you're right. You know. If you know, you know. And it could be the most simple thing of, like, sitting back after something.
And you
going,
have that feeling.
You have that
yeah.
feeling. But also going, I have notes from last year before I ended this, before it was quite recent too. Before I ended this officially, of me listing out my likes and dislikes of this person. And I'll tell you what, my dislikes were so down. I can read it out if you want, but it's not that. I feel like
also
it's
every
not
girl
worth...
has done that as well. Yeah. You're lying if you say you haven't. Yeah. No, everyone's got a notes so notes open in their
pros
phone
and cons.
Pros and cons list,
and then having like a dear in the person's name with like a whole paragraph of trying
stop.
To end it.
I was at work. I was at work and I had a notebook and I had to take a notebook with my principal. Like I was doing a meeting.
Yeah.
Why did I open the notebook and there's like a breakup letter that I wrote and I was like, oh, sorry. Not that.
We've all been there. It's literally it's like the funniest thing. Wait, I found it. I was going off and I literally was contemplating ending it as well during this time, but I didn't.
The relationship, she means.
The relationship. But I didn't because I stayed. I was like, my likes keeps me company, easy to have fun with,
bruh.
Easy to get along with.
Just go get a friend, girl.
Easy to get along with, has similar interests, can be nice sometimes.
Are you serious?
I said, can be nice sometimes.
Cringe.
And then my dislikes are controlling, hurts me, makes me cry, makes me anxious.
Oh, sure.
Makes me feel insecure. Doesn't call, doesn't plan things, doesn't buy me presents or gifts, follows other girls, doesn't respect my boundaries, hurts me. Like, it just goes on and on and on of these dislikes.
In other words, he was a bomb.
Did you find writing the list helped?
That's what I call a bomb.
The writing the list helped because
it's visualizing it.
But it's visualizing it, and also that's when I think my love kind of disappeared.
Well, when you see it on paper, it's hard to ignore. When you write it out like that and you can count on your hands how many things you like and then it's unlimited how many things you dislike.
Nice ring.
That's hard to ignore. It's hard to close your phone and then just pretend you didn't just do that.
And I did that literally in the middle of a lecture, like at uni, writing that on my notes on my laptop.
It always happens, hey. When you're in toxic things and you're so upset, it will invade your brain.
It will invade your brain.
All the
ruins
time.
It ruins your day. Ruins your day. The reason why I wrote it was because that same day I had an argument with this person and it was getting so annoying to the point where I couldn't even concentrate in the lecture and I was like, okay, Shah, go on WikiHow and search up how to end a toxic relationship. And then
so
the first thing it says is consider it, write a list. So I wrote
there
a list. And then it worked. It helped. It literally helped. And you're right. You're so right.
Well,
I was
at my old job and like I had to order something and they're like, oh, you need these purchase order forms to fill out. So I asked the principal's PA like for the purchase order form and she was like, oh, you've done it wrong. Like you need to do it on this purchase order form. And I burst into tears. And she looked at me and she was like, I'm so sorry. I didn't know that telling you the purchase order to use the wrong purchase form would make you upset. And I'm like, no. It's okay. My life just makes me sad. Like the one person said something to me and I burst into tears. That was so embarrassing. But that's what I mean. It's on your mind like 100% of the time. So you're already like elevated.
Exactly.
So it just takes one thing and it's like
ruined. You're collapsed. But I guess that was a very...
It was big. But I want to ask you a question.
No, please go for it.
For the listeners at home, my question for you is... Give a piece of advice to people that are listening that haven't experienced this but may know of people around them that have.
Mm-hmm.
When you were in your situation, what would you have appreciated most from those around you?
From my friends, my
friends,
family.
Or people that you wished had picked up on things. Like, what's the best thing that they could do for you?
I will preface by saying I'm really grateful for the people that stuck around when I needed them. Who didn't leave. There were quite a few people who left and there was quite a few people that... Because it diminishes your character because they're going around saying, oh, look, like Charlene's in this situation and it's kind of like...
She won't help herself.
And she's always constantly coming to me and stuff. I would want people to... Oh, wow. Why am I getting emotional? I would have wanted people to, like, obviously... the whole like we understand type thing, but I just wanted people to and okay, look, I understand staying is hard as a friend when they're in that kind of situation, but I just wanted people to stay but not leave angry.
Yeah
You can leave but don't leave angry
and have some empathy, please.
Have some empathy,
put yourself in the position
exactly.
of others, seriously.
Exactly.
It's hard for you to hear but it's harder for people to experience firsthand.
It's so hard, and like that's what I mean, don't leave angry just because I'm in the situation and I'm constantly coming to you for advice, and I understand you have every right to leave, but don't leave angry. And I keep saying that, I know, but when you leave in anger, it's it makes me feel like, yes, it's a wake-up call, like, oh my God, I'm losing people. I need to actually figure this thing out that I'm going through, because the more I sit here, the more people I lose. But when you leave in such a harsh way and you tell me things, it hurts your heart. It actually breaks you apart. Like, I would rather you have left in a way that's, you know, makes sense to me. Like,
and it's unfinished. It leaves like a...
Very unfinished.
Like, unfinished, like, just like not properly severed feeling inside you. And think you're 100%. Already, like, got the, like, shit pile on you. And someone, like, especially when people leave angry, they say, like, anything. They just, like, ditch out, like, terms and, like, harsh things and hurtful things. And it's like, do you really need to add that onto someone else's pile they're already 100%. Dealing with? If you leave, at least that person can accept it. They know why, and they know you're gone, and they know you don't, like, hate their guts so much. But why would you just go and, like, dump a bunch of stuff on someone and then dip? And like, then dip. That is not a friend.
It's not, so I agree. Especially with someone going through it as well. Like, you know, it's
don't
the last thing you want to
do. Down.
Don't kick people while they're down. Period.
Yeah.
What about you, sis? I ask you the same question.
That is a good question. I think maybe, like, I think that's my... I agree with that as being the main piece of advice for friends, because I've been in the friend position as well, and I haven't always been as good to people as I would be now that I've got, like... the experience and the retrospect. I think my advice more so goes to, like, the people that are, like, in the situations, because we've both been there. It's just, like, my... Like, we've talked about girlhood. Remember your girlhood. Search for girlhood. Search for joy. Exactly. Search for friends. Search for things that make you happy, and put a photo of you when you were little up on your mirror, and speak to her, and know that when you make choices that hurt you now, you are also hurting that young girl.
100%.
And when you think about that girl, what did she enjoy? What made her happy? What did she think her life was going to be like when she was this age? Would she be happy that she's ended up in this awful situation? Would she be happy that you're accepting this treatment and saying you deserve it?
Wow. Goosebumps.
Like, that's what I had to do as well. Like, I think about me when I was a kid, I was so happy. I did not envision being 20 and being depressed and being... like, cut down all the time and saying that's what I deserve.
100%. No, sis, 100%.
So that's what I would recommend for people. Just don't forget your girlhood, and that often will help lead you to where you're meant to be and what you enjoy and who you are deep down outside of the experiences that you have.
That's so true. That is so true. And that girlhood is something that you can bring back again.
Yeah.
In your friends, in your hobbies, anywhere else. Going to Pilates at 6 a.m. morning is so girlhood coded.
I just want to, like, hold hands with girls and, like, go in a circle, like, and run around in the field.
Yes, that's what it is. We should find that again.
And let's just, like, band up some women and just run
in
a circle.
Can we do that? I want to do that so badly. That's, like, that's definitely on my bucket list in life. That's my bucket list in life. That's girlhood to me, and I think that's special, and hopefully we can find it one day. Well, I mean, I don't know. I feel like after that walk.
That's all.
After that walk.
That Pilates class.
Yeah. After that Pilates class, after that walk.
You were led to epiphanies.
I was like, maybe I am back in my girlhood where I can do things and feel happy and great about it. But yeah.
Wicked. What a place to be. Living in the middle of the hills and the sea.
It's a rule to me that I get to chase my dream. With my friends and my family, I mean. Okay, so we're doing our sovereignty now, guys. It's my favorite part of the show. Sorry, show? Show? Episode? Episode show? Can I say Danny's nodding your head?
This is a production.
This is a
show.
Lights, camera, and action. But no, this is my favorite part of our. It's my favorite segment of this.
Yeah.
Of this episode. It's our sovereignty. Funny enough, we ran into
Michelle.
Yes. She, bless. We ran into her, and the first thing she said when she saw us was, sovereignty! And I was like, yes! Someone gets the hype of sovereignty.
It needs its own thing.
We need to make
Oh my God, before I forget. Okay, so sovereignty, we all know. Thoughts, energy, affirmation. Before I forget, everyone, we have a Sovereign Podcast Instagram.
Oh!
Follow the Sovereign Podcast Instagram. I keep forgetting to plug it. We are posting on there, and I think we're going to start doing our sovereign teas on our Instagram as well. And we want you guys to text us your sovereign teas. Please
get involved.
The Sovereign Podcast Instagram.
Please, because we want people to get involved. We want people to, you know, give us
We want to interact with you. We want to know
Literally,
you.
Literally. We want to be more interactive on there as well, and, like, make questions and make, I don't know. It's a cute little place. I love it.
It's a little community.
It's our little community. But yes, please follow
the best
Sovereign.
Updates are on the Sovereign Instagram.
Amen. Please follow it. Please follow it if you haven't already. But yes, we do have a Sovereign podcast Instagram, and we will be utilizing it as of now.
Yeah.
But yeah, our Sovereign teas for the week ahead. IJ, I feel like when we say thoughts, I kind of get jumbled, and I'm like, what?
How many thoughts can one have?
Yeah. How many thoughts can one have? So I need some time to think. Would you mind going first?
Sure. My thoughts this week are around chilling. I need to chill. I was chilling in the... Stop giggling. Yeah. Do you know in the last episode, Charlene goes... you just look funny or something like that. Like, why do you look like that? And I was like, oh, my God, no, this
IJ, because you were zoning out quite a bit. No, you were like, you brought up something about your corporate job. You're like.
I actually did pause. You paused. I actually stared off into space and paused. Like,
yeah, no, but you're talking about chaos and I giggled because.
Well, yeah, I need to chill. Yeah. I've gotten back to Perth. I'm like back in corporate life, back at uni.
Yeah.
I deep cleaned my whole house on a Sunday. Like, girl, chill.
Yeah.
Chill. Like, what is all this energy? Like I said, it's a January crack, but I need to just calm down on that. I need to have like a calm down because please stop too much.
It's just
need to
chill.
Otherwise,
now.
I can like preempt the burnout. You know what I mean? I can 100%. Just see it happening 100%. On the horizon. So I need to chill.
Yeah.
My energy this week is about fitness. Who would have thought? Me and my fat ass. I didn't
know. No, but you said Pilates 6 a.m.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not like a gym. Like, I'm not going to like push any like hardcore fitness down anyone's 100%. Throat. But, like, I've been loving going to Pilates at 6 in the morning because it's done by 7 and I've like already started my day. I've been going to yoga in the park, which, guys, I went to yoga in the park the other afternoon at the start.
Okay.
You have to lie down.
Yeah.
She's going, relax your shoulders, da-da-da-da, be with the earth. Bruv, a nut fell from a tree into my eye, and my eye was watering the whole class. It was a heavy, fresh nut. It landed from the tree right into the bloody socket of my eye, and it hurt, and no one believed me. I swear to God. And my eye was watering in red for the whole yoga class, but regardless. I'm on my fitness grind, guys.
I love that.
Not in a fitness of like
she
having...
She said, be with the earth and the earth... The earth said, I'll...
Far out.
The earth went, whoop.
Far out. But yeah, I'm not trying to have any specific goals or whatever, but just like being fit, I like it.
I'm proud of you.
Wearing
for that.
My active wear that I've had for so long and never worn.
And actually using it.
I know.
And looking cute in it too, I bet.
Literally. My affirmation for the week is going to be... appreciate nature. Stop laughing!
IJ, what the...
Sorry, it made no sense. I'm sorry. This is like last week. I didn't live laugh.
Please expand.
I didn't live laugh.
Appreciate nature.
Because I'm looking out the window and there's a tree. And so I'm just going to appreciate nature this week.
It is a really
nice
thing.
IJ's just like trauma about the nut again. Just like staring out at the tree.
Maybe if I appreciate nature, it won't hit me in the eye in my yoga class.
Maybe she appreciates nature. Nature will appreciate her.
Okay. Sorry. I understand now because you guys aren't following along with my thought process that like appreciate nature came out of nowhere.
The first thought that came to her,
I was looking at the tree, so I was like, oh, appreciate nature. Stop, it's not dumb. This week I'm gonna appreciate nature.
What are you gonna do, hug a tree, touch some grass? Yeah,
maybe I will. Yeah? Maybe I will
hug a tree and touch some grass this week, guys. No, I love that one.
It's
I'm
short
a fan.
I'll remember it.
Yeah, she thinks
appreciate
she poke a hunter.
Nature,
she thinks she poke a hunter. We understand you're native, but girl,
breathe in.
No, it's not that deep.
Breathe in the air, hug the trees.
Yes,
be with
as
nature.
You should. As you should. No, I actually love that, sis. It's
no, you don't. Don't jump on the train now that you've been laughing. No, you don't get to be part
of this.
Because
it's the way you just took a breath.
Go on.
And
you're
like,
tell us your silly affirmation.
Hey, my affirmation I haven't even thought of yet, but anyways, probably as silly as yours, I'll be honest. Thoughts for the week ahead. I don't know what my thoughts for the week ahead are. We actually don't know. I don't have thoughts, actually. I don't.
Period.
My energy for the week ahead, though, I have no thoughts. This is my first ever episode. I'm saying I have no thoughts. My energy for the week ahead is self-care, a lot of self-care. Mm. I haven't done my everything shower yet.
Ooh.
Everything. Not everything shower. Everything.
That's
meaning
scary.
Hair and, no, but sis, literally hair mask, everything. Like, everything. Hair mask, hair oils, everything. I need to do all of that. That's my energy. It's self-care. I need to deep clean my room. I have to deep clean. So that's literally my energy.
I'm sorry. One time Charlene sent me a video and I was like, what's that mark on your wall? And she was like, my foundation.
Oh
Her foundation is on her wall. I was like, how did your foundation get on your wall? I'm so sorry for exposing you. I'm so sorry. You do need to deep clean your room. You need to clean the walls.
Oh, no. I'm going to cry. I'm going to pee myself. I'm going to pee myself. Stop. I'm going to pee myself. Because I remember explaining, you asked that so judgmentally, and I remember.
I'm sorry.
I remember I had to justify why, and she was like, okay, girl. And she was like, okay. It's a long story, guys. Anyway, I already told you the story. Did I tell you the story? Or no. Yeah. Okay. Okay, anyways. My affirmation is I attract amazing people in my life. Stop. I attract amazing people in my life. Because of the concept of this episode, I just want to say that we are both going to attract amazing, healthy, beautiful people, relationships, platonic, romantic, whatever in our lives, and we're going to be happy about it. So for my week ahead, I'm going to not make advances, but I am going to make sure that I am open to new energies, open to new light. And that's it. That's my sovereignty done. That's our sovereignty done. That's an episode done.
Thank you for joining us on this episode.
It's been a long one. We apologize, but it has been amazing catching up with IJ, and we are grateful for yous as always.
We love yous. Message us on the Instagram, follow us on Instagram, and we will see you next episode.
Bye.
You've been listening to Sovereign, a new RTRFM podcast by Sister Girls for Sister Girls, as well as any other mob and beautiful people that may relate.
I'm Charlene.
And I'm IJ.
And Sovereign would not be possible without the help and support of our team.
Big love to photographer Cole Baxter for our beautiful cover photo.
Music is Summertime Flow by Noongar Whangai rapper Joshua Eggington and Tani Walker. Sovereign is produced by Charlene Baloch and IJ McKenna.
Our artwork is by my sis, Lavinia Nedolia McKenna.
Our executive producer is Daniel Raphael.
This podcast was created and recorded at RTRFM on Wajak Noongar Boodja. We pay our respects to elders past and present. This land was never ceded.